Hey everyone, what is going on? It is Crypto Bobby. Hope you're having a great day, great night, wherever you are watching or listening in from. And today, I want to talk to you specifically about utility tokens and an interesting trend that I think we are going to start seeing more and more often. And I believe we are really right now at an inflection point for utility tokens, for cryptocurrency in general, but especially for utility tokens and for a lot of companies that raised a significant or in some cases insignificant amount of money through an initial coin offering or a token sale and has a token in the wild, because this really started in the 2016-2017 really the 2017 was the heyday, but started in around 2016, let's say. And there is a time now where we are seeing businesses mature and some companies with tokens see a certain level of adoption, and we are also seeing some either outright failures from a business perspective, or we're also seeing tokens that just don't work and are not required for anything else other than speculation. And there are two or three interesting kind of case studies, one that happened quite recently, and then another one that I want to talk about that I think are something that you really want to take a look at, read in depth, and make sure you understand this, because I think a lot of people out there have some level of exposure to utility tokens if you are, quote unquote, investing in the cryptocurrency space. And this is something that we may see more and more and more often as there is perhaps a little bit of a failure in how a lot of these token sales and structures were set up. So the two that I am thinking of today are, one is Iconomy, or Iconomy, whatever, however you want to pronounce it. The token is ICN, and another one is CoFoundIt, which are two different utility tokens in the space, and they are going through kind of separate, I would say separate challenges per se, and the way in which they're handling them is rather interesting. And then we'll pull up one, which is Mercury Protocol, which probably and definitely could have handled things in a much better manner, and you see that with the price of their token as well. So we'll definitely talk on all of those. Just giving a quick preface too, I think one thing when I'm looking at a lot of these token sales, and you kind of take a step back, 2017, especially 2017, was a really interesting time, because it was just a crazy, crazy period where retail investors, as well as other, you know, quote-unquote educated venture capital firms or crypto funds or whatever it might be, were throwing money at all these projects, and in many cases making very quick returns. And then in a lot of other cases, retail investors were buying later on into a hype cycle and getting burned, with a lot of these tokens down 90%+ since the all-time highs in January. Now, one thing that I think we see all the time, and there is this huge propensity in the crypto space to call anything a scam. Everything is a scam. Everything is a scam. Your grandma's a scam. My grandpa's a scam. This token's a scam. Whatever it might be, everything is a scam. I don't necessarily think that in some cases a lot of these are outright scams or anything like that. What I do think is that people took money for these utility tokens, and you know, we're trying to build perhaps legit businesses. We're trying to create something new, novel, interesting, and the model is just not tested out enough yet, to the point where, you know, the money really should have been accepted for what it was. And I think this is what we're going to continue to see. So with that preface, the first thing I think is interesting, and I will link this below in the YouTube and podcast description as well, but this is a post from September 27th, so a few days ago. I was in Nashville drinking too many Bud Lights, so I didn't get a chance to talk about it then. But this is something from the COO at Iconomy, and they have talked about looking at new structures of legal and corporate governance. But really, what does that mean? Essentially, Iconomy did an ICO, and they have a utility token that has been in the market, according to on-chain FX, for about 14 months. Current market cap, about $38 million, down close to 93% from its all-time high. So it's down quite a bit from the all-time high of things. but not necessarily, almost back to the initial ICO price, actually, which is pretty crazy to think about when you're looking at this chart in general. But with this, you know, with this blog post that Iconomy is talking about, essentially what Iconomy is doing is they're saying, hey, this utility token, what we're doing is we're allowing people, we're allowing the investors in this utility token to become shareholders of our company. We are forming a new holding company in Liechtenstein. It's going to be Iconomy AG. And if you hold the Iconomy utility token right now, what happens with that is you are able to get equity in our company rather than having this as a utility token. And they provide a specific time frame to do that. Now, a couple different things that I thought were interesting because of this is, number one, they basically admit that the utility was really non-existent for the token as a whole. And they say this when they say, well, what about the ICN, the current ICN utility? They say the utility functions of the ICN token will be discounted or discontinued on December 31st, 2018. So providing a clear time frame, which is nice. But consequently, wherever the ICN token was used to pay for additional services for DAA managers, which is kind of like Iconomy is like basically managed hedge funds for non-US residents. But basically anywhere the ICN token was used to pay for services, ETH or fiat currencies will be used instead. And this is one thing that I think is one of the massive takeaways, is we're finding out there were a lot of token sales that went on in this model where essentially the token sale was simply just used as a method for payment on a network, rather than Ethereum or rather than fiat. And what we're seeing in many cases, such as this with ICN, Iconomize token, is that doing just a token for payment on a network when it would actually be easier to just do that with Ethereum or in some cases fiat currencies would have been the better move. And that does not hold value well. That does not capture value well in a network. The price of the tokens will not appreciate unless you have these crazy runs in the industry as a whole. But this is one of the key takeaways from my just component when I'm reading this, is that, hey, you know, anywhere where the ICN token was used for payment, we're just going to take ETH or fiat. If it's that easy to take the utility out of your token, probably shouldn't have been a utility token in the first place. And that is one of the big things to think about. Now, yes, that is a problem for sure with, you know, how things were structured. But I do think that there are a couple things that Iconomy is doing that are fairly respectable, where they're saying, hey, you know, this is actively traded. I believe Iconomy is traded on Binance and a number of other exchanges. So Iconomy is on a number of other exchanges. They say, you know, token holders will be able to sell there. If you don't want equity in Iconomy, which, you know, I'm sure some people have no interest in that, you know, you won't be left empty-handed. You could sell your tokens on exchanges. If the trading on exchanges stops, Iconomy will take over and buy the ICN tokens from token holders in exchange for ETH at a rate that is set at 0.0019 ETH, which is actually about a 13% premium over today's rate. And they said the exchange rate they set was on an average of the exchange price of the last 180 days prior to September 27th. And then they wanted to offer a 5% premium to that. So depending upon what happens with the exchanges, they're actually offering a buyback if the exchanges stop to support at a 5% premium to an average of the past 180 days. So good on ICN for that, at least to give some possibility for these token holders who do not want equity in ICN to get out of that investment if they are not able to on exchanges. Now, one thing I thought was interesting about this as well is, depending upon how this is structured, they're not flat out offering that buyback as a whole, but I was thinking in my head, you know, that is a right now 13% premium to the buyback is at a 13% premium to what you could buy spot on an exchange, would be a potential interesting not necessarily trade, but if that buyback actually did happen to where we're at right now, you could capture that 13% delta and get some revenue that way. So something to think about as a whole. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, we have co-founded, which was really a website and a company that was one of their early ICOs, but they basically were trying to build a way to participate in initial coin offerings in a democratized fashion per se, as well as provide support for all these teams and things like that. Now, they launched at a good time. They kind of ran the ICO run-up of 2017. But the interesting thing here, and I've been thinking about this for a few months now, is there are a number of companies that built their entire business model around token sales and around initial coin offerings. And the industry has changed so quickly from being a mostly or at least largely driven by retail investors who are able to participate in these token sales just by, you know, maybe having an Ethereum address or alternatively by some KYC, whatever it might be, to now having the ICO industry, number one, scale back pretty significantly, but number two, really the majority of any solid project is being entirely filled out by well-connected VC firms or well-connected crypto hedge funds. And because of the transition in the industry, CoFoundIt has basically, their business model is dead. It's dead in the water. So they decided to close up shop and say, hey, you know, our company is not working right now. You know, the industry changed. We didn't necessarily get left behind, but it changed in a way that wasn't compatible to what we were trying to do. And because of that, we are going to shut down our business. Now, if we go down to the end, you know, one of the unfortunate things about that is CoFoundIt has a token that is trading live in the actual cryptocurrency ecosystem. So because of that, you know, what happens to all these token holders when your business goes away? That is a serious concern and something that people kind of have to think about. And CoFoundIt is going through the process of basically buying back or refunding their token holders now. So this is another scenario where for Iconomy, what they're doing is essentially offering a equity or security token in their new company and refunding the utility token in that way by providing optionality of, hey, you can have ownership in our company or you can get payment back in Ethereum or in ETH. CoFoundIt on the other end of the spectrum is saying, hey, we don't even think we can continue business anymore. So we're shutting down. We're just going to refund the token holders and hopefully we'll ride off into the sunset without getting sued into oblivion. However, this is, I think, going to be the start of a lot of this with many of these companies that have done token sales. There are hundreds and hundreds of companies out in the wild right now, and depending upon how much money they raise, they have a variety of runway on the map. Many of these companies, if not, I would say probably 90%+ of them are not profitable entities. So there is going to be a point in time where more companies like CoFoundIt begin to shut down. And what do they do with those tokens? Maybe they kind of quietly shut down and basically pretend like they're still operating and let their tokens drift out into the ecosystem and do whatever and hope that they retain value and maybe sell off their tokens quietly and, you know, dip off into the sunset. Do they do something like what Iconomy is doing, where they say, hey, this isn't really a utility token, but we think we have a good business here and we want to offer you equity in our company, create a security token or just paper equity and get on with it that way? Or do they say, hey, like CoFoundIt did, do we say, hey, you know, this is something that just the business isn't working. We're going to pay back our investors or try to pay back our investors as much as possible. And we're going to be done here and try to do something else. This is going to be interesting to watch. And I really do think you're going to start seeing this more and more and more often because some of the models that people have raised money on and the products that they're building, in some cases, there's just not a need for it. The industry has changed. The industry is rapidly developing. And we're learning things the hard way, and some investors are learning things the hard way. And you can see this too with something like Mercury Protocol here. So Mercury Protocol is something, and there's a lot of people that I know that have kind of gotten burned really, really badly by Mercury Protocol. There was actually one point in time where I traded Mercury Protocol, I think lost a little bit of money on it, is what it is, but did not lose anywhere near the amount of money that many other people did. But Mercury Protocol, I believe, raised about close to $20 million in an ICO, an initial coin offering, backed by Mark Cuban. They have a whole big team on board, yada, yada, yada. They also have Nick Tamino from their advisor. Let's see. I don't even think they have their advisors on anymore. Do they? Nope. So they took their advisors off their website, but they had Mark Cuban, they had Nick Tamino from One Confirmation, which is a somewhat well-respected venture fund in the space, or crypto fund in the space, went all the way up to about a $40 plus million market cap, 25 cent token at one point in time. And Mercury Protocol is now worth less than a cent. So it went from $40 million market cap to under a $400,000 market cap. There is no volume. They essentially had it removed from all the exchanges, removed from any place it was trading. And they're trying to do something with the token. But this is the type of thing that I think when you're looking at, when you're seeing the negative side of this, of this industry, you can look at something like Mercury Protocol that raised $20 million, now has a market cap of 20 million ETH, and now has a market cap, the token market cap, of $400,000, and there's really no way for their investors to actually liquidate their funds at all, because there is no market for it whatsoever, and there's really no utility for the product at all. So this is something where I think you're going to start seeing it more and more and more often, and I'm interested to see how companies like Mercury Protocol deal with this. And will there be, in many cases, when you participate in an ICO, when you participate in a lot of this, the legal docs are obviously put in place to say this is not an investment and all that good stuff. But are those really ironclad? Are we going to see more litigation? What's going to happen with a lot of this stuff? So how am I looking at this moving forward? I think that when you are quote unquote investing in the crypto space, utility tokens are very much in flux right now. They might have a rough time moving forward until people can really start proving the actual utility of these tokens, and whether or not that's people that come out with kind of new innovative strategies on how to leverage these tokens, whether that comes with adoption, whatever it might be. Utility tokens for the time being might be a rough go, right? Rough investment. So I'm interested to see how a lot of that ends up panning out. The safer bet might be having the pure play cryptocurrencies or crypto assets, things like Bitcoin, even things like Ethereum, things like Monero, Zcash, whatever it might be. So it's going to be fun to watch, and maybe not so fun for a lot of people, but how some of these utility tokens end up actually finding utility, and the companies, the businesses that shut down, what do? Do they take the ethical route, or as ethical as possible, and sell off their assets and buy back tokens from their investors or utility token holders? Do they transfer that to equity? What is exactly going to go on? That is the type of thing that I'm going to keep a close eye on. And I guarantee, well, I don't want to guarantee, but I think this is going to be a trend in the industry moving forward, at least in my stupidly humble opinion. But hopefully this video is educational for you on some of the different considerations when we are thinking about these utility tokens and what is generally happening in the industry. If you enjoyed this video, would love for you to hit the thumbs up button. Helps to get this video out to as many people as possible. If you're new to the channel by any chance, hit that subscribe and the notify bell so you get these videos as soon as they come out. And if you're listening on the podcast, thank you as always for listening. Links to everything below in the description. Really appreciate the time. Crypto Bobby signing out. Hope you have a good one. Peace.